if you're going to forget that something happened, you're literally forgetting and saying, okay, I didn't learn. I didn't grow. What was that about? For me, it was about honoring it, not forgetting it. And how do we do that? We allow ourselves to release the pain that was handed to us and welcome the peace and the freedom.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're excited to have you here today. And we've got a wonderful guest, Sarah Schulting-Kranz.
Schulting-Kranz, yep.
Beautiful. Is an acclaimed author, thought leader, keynote speaker, trauma and life coach, wilderness guide, and executive producer of Walk Through This, a documentary feature in production of her healing journey in nature. Most importantly, Sarah is a single mom of three sons. As a multiple trauma survivor, Sarah coaches individual men and women through their own life-shifting journeys of healing and transformation. When she's not working with clients, you'll find her guiding nature healing retreats in the Grand Canyon, Alaska, and in the mountains of Southern California. Whether kayaking, hiking, each retreat is focused on the power of water or land to somatically heal and attune our heart, mind, body, and soul. Sarah's book, Walk Through This, which we have, it's a beautiful, beautiful, it's such a pretty book. And I love the feeling of the pages too. Harness the healing power of nature and travel the road to forgiveness. Published in 2020. The documentary follows the book. I mean, it follows a lot of the women applying your book.
Yeah, it does. It's a really cool film too. Yeah.
We've seen some trailers for it and it looks really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah.
Thank you for having me on. This is so exciting. Yes. What a great Wednesday.
Sarah, your book, Walk Through This, it's about travel mm-hmm. and being in nature and allow nature to help you heal trauma and lead into forgiveness.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah. So can you give us a little bit, without giving away the book, just your story that led you to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So my story, I'm a multiple trauma survivor. I have experienced my first trauma at 17. I was raped at 17 and had a very traumatic experience through that. Levels and levels, just layers and layers of betrayal from the police department to, oh gosh, just literally all the way down to the community, to the hospital, to, and I talk about that in the book. And it was devastating. And I was born and raised in a very small town. I'm a Midwest girl, born and raised in Black Earth, Wisconsin, population 1,100. And so interestingly enough, the title of the book came from that, because when I was 17, I was a senior in high school. And my mom would say to me, just keep walking, like take your steps, walk through this and people will believe you someday. Because I literally had, I mean, I was not believed. And so your truth is so important. Your story is so important. And I navigate truth with my children on a daily basis. Like that is such a basis of who I am. And so then what I would do during that time is literally go into like my cornfields, and I would plop down and that's where I would sit. And I would gaze into nature and I would gaze into the universe and gaze into God, whatever you want to say. And it healed me. I didn't know that that's what was happening, by the way. I'm 17. Here's the big thing of this too, is that I ended up being pregnant. And so because of that, and so when I say the hospital, that's a kind of a big thing right there too, right? Like kind of left that one out. After I gave birth, I didn't even know that they had tried to adopt my child out behind my back. So we're talking betrayal upon betrayal upon betrayal that I had kept inside of me for a very, very long time. And I'm very open with that in when I'm sharing my story, because I want people to understand the very first thing that I learned at the age of 17. And this is why raising your children is so important, to stand in their integrity and who they are, is because my parents did a really, really good job of that. And at the age of 17, I realized the number one most important person for me to believe in is myself. And so I took that at the age of 17, and literally that became the basis of my life. I became a teacher, still went to college, went to the university. I ended up having my child, bringing my child home, raising him. And he's my oldest today. He's my 30-year-old. He's amazing. He's a freaking amazing kid. And then that stuck with me. And then at the age of 40, I found out that my husband had been betraying me, unfortunately, for 14 of 17 years of our marriage. And then he ended up, to add more fuel to the fire, he ended up coming out as gay. And so here I am with three boys now. And I'm like, why do these things keep happening to me? And what do I do with them? And at the age of 40, when that happened, I'm now 48. And I love getting older because I'm learning and getting more wise. But I remembered at the age of 40, when all of this hit, I went back to that 17-year-old girl and was like, okay, that 17-year-old within me, what did I do at 17 that got me through this? And it was literally diving into nature. And that became my space. And so, you know, I live here at the beach. I'm in California. So I would take my paddleboard and go out into the ocean. And I was with whales and dolphins and literally bathing myself into nature and allowing that to heal my heart, my body, my soul, my spirit. And then I decided to start taking this to others because it worked, you know? And so that's why I became a coach, trauma coach. And I'm a life coach, leadership coach. I work with people who have lived through trauma. I work with a lot of different people. And now I guide in the Grand Canyon because the Grand Canyon became a sacred space for me during my healing as well. And so I now take people there. We deep dive, we meditate, we use nature as our healing. And I also do water retreats, yes, up in Alaska as well. So that's how I got into all of this. That's in a nutshell. And you know what? I do it because I believe so deeply in my children. Every single day I look at them and I'm like, they're the core of who I am. And my boys, I have three sons, 30, 20, and 15, and they are freaking amazing young men. And I love them dearly. And so I want to be the best model for them as not only as a woman, you know, not only as a human, but as a model in business, a model in life, and a model of leadership. And they've taken all of it. They're like cruising in their lives, which is awesome. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It's for everyone, not just me.
When we first came across your work, to see that you are combining nature and trauma healing, it sounds like a very simple recipe, but from some personal things we have, it's profound.
I mean, it's so profound.
Profound combo. What do you think it is? And I mean, we have our own takes and we're happy to share with you, but what is it that of immersing in nature? I mean, you're talking the Grand Canyon, you're talking about the vast wilderness of Alaska.
Yeah.
We were just in, my son and I, how does that unlock? How does that pull back the mask? I mean, what is it about nature? Because I think some people overlook this powerful solution that could help them through this part of it.
So you're in my jam space right now. Like, thank you for this. Like, this is like, do we have like all day?
Yeah.
So there's multiple things. You know, what's interesting is that I never realized, truly did not realize what was happening in me. Like literally, because everything starts from within, right? Everything starts, and I'm not talking your head, I'm talking your heart. And so we have conditioned ourselves in society and we condition our kids to be a mindset society, be mindset humans. And I don't do that with my boys. Like with my boys and how I operate and how I've always operated with is, let's work from our heart space as well. What's your passion? What's your purpose? That doesn't come from your head, that comes from your heart. And so how do you get them outside of the space of screens, quite frankly, being in your room? Because how many kids do that? They like go to their room, they sit on their screen, they play the games, they do the things. And so I've always been very much into, let's get out of the house. Let's get away from the screens. Let's get out of our head and actually allow ourselves to be one with something so much larger than ourselves. Now, coincidentally enough, my oldest son is into apps. Like he's totally a computer like kind of guy. And my younger two are athletes. And so it's also understanding how to bring this to them in a way that makes sense to them. So we can't just force it onto them and say, hey, this is the way to do it, because there's no linear way to do it. I will say that what's interesting about it, and when you're asking about what about it is it, our brains, because we're always focused on the next thing, our frontal lobe of our brain is always on. We're on right now. This is what we're doing in front of the screen. Our frontal lobe is working. Allowing ourselves to go outside in nature, there actually is scientific proof that the frontal lobe of our brain slows. It is not made up. It is a real true thing. Yeah. And the back part of our brain, the cerebellum, is what rises. That's where we have clarity. That's where we get creative. That's where, like every part of my business, none of it happens when I'm sitting here. It happens when I'm out in nature. And then the other space to this is that I also want to bring up is that on wonder, that's the number one most important emotion that we can have in order to heal PTSD. That is also a proven thing.
The Godfather, 15 times, like, now I get that part. That's who that guy was. Or that makes total sense. But I've never heard of
it. It's a gateway drug. And so, like, literally, if you think about it, so when I could give you 1,000,000,000 experiences in my life that this is what happens. And that's why I tell people too, like when they go on my retreats, I always ask them, like, okay, call in what you want. Like, what's the experience that you want to have? Call it in, right? We are, again, a mind-based society. And so, and it drives me crazy because we overcomplicate everything in this world. And so if we could just allow ourselves to go back into what is the simplicity of the human nature? What is the simplicity of going out into nature? Don't make it so freaking hard. If you just sit with a spider and watch it weave its web, if you really think about this itty bitty little creature that weaves this beautiful formation of a web, that alone takes us into awe because it really is awe-inspiring. And that's the gateway into allowing ourselves to get out of our head and drop into our heart and heal somatically through our cells, because trauma actually sits in our cells. That's just like, that's proven fact too. And so how do we get it out? It's through movement. It's through awe. It's through wonder. It's through that experience. Because if you think about it, life is an experiential journey. That's all it is.
Absolutely.
That's all it is.
Makes so much sense.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. And I just think of how so often I relate things in my life, you know, when things feel heavy or overwhelming. And I look and I think, okay, we've got all these birds that I can hear singing in the background and they have exactly what they need. I see the butterflies going about and they've got just as many flowers as they need. And like all of these things are provided for in the same way in which we're provided for. And so
it's absolutely
a great way to really ground and remind yourself if you take the time to watch. So that's great. I'm a huge note taker, but that note's extra big. Number one.
I've never heard that. That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Put in that simple of terms before.
That's great. Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that you just said that simple of terms, because it really is so simple.
Yeah, you don't need those long, definitions for it. It's like, no, it's going to create awe and wonder, and that gives just enough space. Mm-hmm. And Jamie and I have both done a good amount of trauma counseling and healing therapies. So that makes so much sense. And definitely the use of, I think what we've learned is like something you just hit on. Yeah, it might feel on a tiny surface level good to binge watch Netflix or something. You're certainly not creating space to open up that door to heal.
I don't watch TV.
Yourself in.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't either. But yeah, exactly. So, it's a numbing tool, not a healing tool.
So we're very outdoorsy, but I can see where people might think, oh, if I binge watch this thing that's funny, that's going to help. But like you said, you're almost locking yourself in place then. You're not expanding to an environment that's going to heal, as you said. So, I really like that. I wonder. That's going to stick with me.
It's so funny that you're bringing this up because, you know, my laughter, people say that about me a lot. They're like, there are a few things that you really need to have when you're working with somebody. In other words, if you're looking for somebody to guide you through your trauma healing, to guide you through the things, there are a couple of things that you need. Number one, somebody that's been there. They need to have walked the walk, because otherwise, guess what? They're simply reading a textbook to you, which means they're literally taking it from the page, putting it through your head and through their head into yours, which I 1,000% agree with that. I have always found people in my life that have been where I've been in order to take me to that space, right? And then the other thing is they need to have a damn good laugh. You have to be able to laugh at what happens in life at some point, right? I've lived through a lot of stuff. There's many times where I haven't been able to laugh. And yet once I'm to that place, that's actually a really great healing tool. So yeah. And binge watching Netflix, I admittedly was a Real Housewives of Orange County binge watcher in the beginning of my healing journey and realized it was getting me nowhere. And so I've tried that. Didn't work. Numbing out doesn't work. So it didn't take me long to realize that that wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So with your book, Sarah, Walk Through This and Travel the Road to Forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what healing has to do with forgiving?
So forgiveness is such a beautiful tool. And it's one of the most underutilized, misunderstood tools, I believe, that I've seen. when I was asked to do this TED talk, because I did a TED talk on forgiveness, how it actually happened, as many things that happened in my life, I didn't know that I was doing it. She literally, like, she called me and she's like, "Hey, I want you to do this TED talk. I've heard about you, blah, 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 blah." And I'm like, "Okay, what are we going to do it on?" And then we kind of went down the line and she said, she asked me, "How have you gotten to this point of healing?" And I said, "Well, nature," but she didn't want me to do a talk on nature. And I'm like, "Well, and I've learned how to forgive people." And she was like, "Okay, bingo. How do you define forgiveness?" And so once I explained how I define forgiveness, which is not about forgetting, condoning, or excusing the behavior, we looked it up in the dictionary, and believe it or not, they have forget to forgive and forget in the dictionary. And I went, and that is society's issue right here.
Wow.
Yes. And so I was like, okay, profound moment for Sarah. Another awe-inspiring, profound moment for Sarah, that I believe deeply that in order to walk through our traumas, we have to honor our experiences. We have to honor who we are becoming outside of the difficulties that we are walking through. And so if you're going to forget that something happened, you're literally forgetting and saying, okay, I didn't learn, right? I didn't grow. What was that about? And so for me, it was about honoring it, not forgetting it. And how do we do that? We allow ourselves to release the pain that was handed to us and welcome in the peace and the freedom. And so once we started really diving into and pulling back the layers, then what is forgiveness? Like, how do we use this? How can we use this in our life? And I'll tell you, like, so many people that I talk to as well, they think of forgiveness as a religious thing. And that right there, they're like, "Well, I don't want to, you know, touch that." And so to me, it is a tool that is for everyone. I don't care who you are in this world. Forgiveness is such a beautiful tool for everyone, regardless of what you believe in or what you know, how you choose to be in this world. And so, and it really came to me when I was out in nature, I was standing on a peak and I was like, all right, I literally was looking out into the vast valley below. And I talk about it in my TED talk, I am ready to step into the space. And it's also something that it's a practice. It's not a one and done. I talk about this in the book. It is something that you choose every single day to step into, using your boundaries, using your worthiness, using the things, the tools. And it's also, it's something that cannot be forced. It is something that cannot be forced from your head. It's something that comes from your heart, which is why when you're in nature, you're more apt to be able to embrace it. So
I think you hit on you hit on one, and I would be curious to see if you agree with this. A big thing for me was, as you said, I used to think, and it just shows, well, go to the definition. It's basically telling you that forgiveness through something really painful meant, one, you were condoning, and secondly, you now had to be best friends and continue to hang out.
Oh, hell no. Sorry, did I just cuss?
No, you could say
yes. Hell no.
How many people say that? Including me.
Yes, I totally know what you mean.
Forgiveness means I'm condoning.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for them. And now I have to hang out with them all the time, be a best friend, invite them back. And it's like, no, it's none of those things. I'm not condoning. Yeah. No, I'm holding a boundary. You're not invited back in my life. And the forgiveness, honestly, it's very distant, secondary for you. It's for me.
Exactly.
And that's been huge. And that was the one I didn't hear you say, but it sounds like you just said exactly where. I didn't realize forgiveness was for you.
Oh, 100%. It's completely for you. And that is the most, so I think, well, here's the other piece to it too, is that we as a society tend to put everybody else first but ourselves. I know as a mom that I had consistently, and I've been a mom since I was 17. I've always been to this place of put them first, put you second, take care of you after they're taken care of. Not realizing that if we're not taking care of ourselves and filling our cup, it is actually one of the most selfless things that we can do. If we're not taking care of ourselves, how can we take care of other people? And so when it came to this, to my own trauma healing, that was the piece of it too, was, so I just did this. I just created a reel yesterday for my Instagram. And it was this realization of how much I actually suck at holding on to toxic emotions. I cannot hold on to low vibe emotions. I just can't. I don't want to. It's my choice. And that's actually the beautiful piece of it. I was really thinking about that when I was like, well, why don't I like to hold on to these? Low vibe emotions really are awful. Like, who wants to sit in anger and pain their whole life? Like, we're here to experience the beauty of love and of fierce self-compassion and like all of the high vibe emotions, right? And how do you let go of those low vibe emotions that really keep us stuck? Anger, like, ugh. It's literally through that process of forgiveness. It's saying, I'm no longer going to hold on to these. I'm releasing my pain because I want to step into something that is more freeing. And so, and it's such a beautiful process. Yeah. And it's for you. It's literally, you're not doing it for somebody else. And I certainly would never say to somebody, okay, well, you forgave them. Now you have to sit down and share dinner together. No, you don't have to do any of that.
Yeah. But that's what the definition, as you said, forgive, forget. That's exactly what that would mean.
Absolutely it does. And I was actually taught that, by the way. Hence why I now have a tattoo with my mother's handwriting and it says forgive. Because this has literally transformed the way that I have stepped into this space, has transformed the way that my family is. It's the way that people view forgiveness. It's the way that my children have lived their life. And that's my hope is that it ripples out into the world that much further. And people understand that, you know, we're humans, like we're human beings, all having our human experience without judgment and more understanding.
Well, Sarah, I'm wondering as we're talking, do you feel, or what's your belief? Does the forgiveness come before the healing or the healing come before the forgiveness? Is there a magic method?
That's a big question.
Dang, that is a really good question. I've never been asked that before. I'm going to tell you my experience and the experience that I've witnessed from a lot of people, my clients, is that it's all interwoven into one. It's like there are days, my former husband said to me a couple months ago, he was like, I just feel like you don't forgive me right now. And I said, you know what? The beautiful thing is I do forgive you and I can hold boundaries and make a choice every day and where that forgiveness lies because of XYZ. Like my pain is very, very deep and I need you to understand, respectfully understand where I'm at right now. And so, you know, the beautiful thing is that the healing journey never ends. And so which comes first, the chicken or the egg? There is no, it's not one or the other because the healing is a continual journey. And so the forgiveness process is a part of your forgiveness journey that of your healing journey that continues on where I'm still going to get hurt. I get hurt by my former husband. I still do, like things come up and you get triggered. Right. And that's why I explained to him just because yes, yesterday I forgave you at whatever percent doesn't mean it's going to be the same tomorrow. It's just, this is life. And there is no right or wrong way either. It's not linear. It is a very fluid journey.
Now, how are your children? Because your children had their own bucket that they were working through. And so how do your children respond? One, to watching you take care of you first and foremost. And secondly, how are they learning from that and caring for themselves? Like how is that working down from you modeling to them implementing?
Yeah. So I will say that my very first thing with that is I never speak on their behalf. Never. And then I was very clear with them when I wrote the book, when I was doing the film, when, you know, the documentary and all of it, when I stood up on the stage, I said, I want hopefully them to understand. So I'm going to kind of back up really quick. There's three words that came to me when I was on my paddleboard that I believe came from God, universe, whatever you want to call it, spirit. And it was truth, inspiration, and hope. And, the truth is always speaking your truth, leading an inspiring day every day, and hope for the present and hope for the future. Interestingly enough, when I dedicated my book, my very first child is definitely my truth. My middle child is definitely my inspiration, and my youngest is definitely my hope. And so when I speak to them and when I was sharing them about doing all of this, I told them, when I'm speaking, I'm sharing my truth. It's not the truth of your father. It's not the truth of any of you. This is mine. Every single person in this situation is going to have their own truth. And it's been remarkable to witness their journey, quite frankly. They have handled everything extremely well. We've been nothing but honest with them from the beginning. And I talk about that in the book. There were a few times on this journey where I had to get extremely honest with them. They would ask me the tough questions. And I was like, I'm not going to lie to you because mom's been lied to and it sucks. There is nothing worse. Well, I mean, look, there's a lot of bad things that can happen. Relational and betrayal trauma is cuts to the core of who you are as a human being, especially when, for me, my truth and my honesty at 17 was not believed. And so then you have somebody else that's using that at the age of 40 and throughout my marriage. And it just, I mean, I was that person who wanted to slam her car up against the wall. I was like, this sucks. Nothing could be worse at this point in my life. That said, that's also why I've been so honest with my boys. And so they're doing awesome. My 30-year-old is doing great in his business. My 20-year-old plays water polo at USC. He's an All-American. And he just got done. I was telling you guys, we were just in Prague. He was playing in the Junior World Championships and he's doing great. And my youngest is a freshman in high school and he's on a basketball path. And so this has taught them how to become really good leaders, mentors, friends. I think that's one of the most important part. How to be a really, really good friend to others. It's not only the leadership, it's just being a good human being. And I'm really proud of them. I'm just really freaking proud of them. They're good. They're just great kids.
You should be.
Yeah, thank you.
Openness is such a gift because it's nothing. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And you cannot relate to that. Not when you're in trouble.
Right.
And if everything's fine and they're saying, no, not everything's not fine. You cannot relate. That's where separation, some really ugly continuations start to spiral down. So I definitely applaud you for that. That's something Jamie and I try to do with our children too. We don't avoid the tough conversations.
It's uncomfortable at times, but it's way better than the end result.
Yeah, of hiding. We don't hide. So
I don't either. And sometimes it's probably been a bit much for them, I will admit. And at the same time, they've seen me struggle. I've had a lot of struggles through this. This has not been easy. It's definitely, and I think that sometimes people mistake that with me. They think, oh, she's just so happy. It's just been, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, you guys, like, I struggled through this in the beginning of this. And I still have my days where I freaking struggle. Yeah. And you know, the point I remember, I heard a, gosh, who was it? There was a really good quote where it was Dr. Edith Eger. She wrote an amazing book and she said, we all travel through the valley of death and darkness. What's important is that we don't set up camp there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and that was she's a Holocaust survivor. And that was one of the, when I was listening to one of the podcasts she was on, I was like, amen, sister. Like that is what we're teaching our children. And we all go through stuff. And we don't have to stay there, right? And it doesn't have to suck.
Doesn't have to suck. We have a popular finale question. Afterwards, I want to make sure people know where to get in touch with you because we were looking through. I thought it was amazing. And I think you'll relate with this, especially the message to your children. There's something we started doing about a year ago where we've all been told, Sarah, you know, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self? And that's great. It's a great exercise. But you know, in the last 2 years going through some big stuff, I needed better guidance. And I was actually out in my zone, the ocean as well. And I suddenly said to myself, what advice would my 75-year-old self give to me to people right now?
And time.
It really pulled me to a different level of what I wanted in the long term, a greater, deeper, wiser self than I am right now. So we love to ask people, and I'm definitely wanting to hear yours, you know, so we're talking years down the road, but what advice do you think 75-year-old Sarah would give to Sarah of today, to your children, to the people you're working? What would the 75-year-old version of you?
Can I switch it up just a little bit? Because I use this. I literally use this. So I have had this vision that I'm going to live to 108. I don't know where it came from. It was just one of those things. And so I always ask myself, when I'm feeling frustrated, stuck, what's the word I'm looking for? Like closed in. I always go to that woman at 108 and I ask her, like, what would you be saying to me right now? And would you be proud of me for how I'm handling X, Y, Z? And so, because listen, when I take my last breath, I want it to be like, that was a freaking phenomenal experience on this earth. And so I will say that what my 108-year-old self would say is exactly what she's been saying to me, which is dream big. And when you dream big, amp it up and dream 1,000 times bigger than that. Because I remember when I was little and I was 10 years old and I was watching the snowflakes fall from the sky. And I remember thinking to myself, this world is so much, and I literally was alone underneath a street lamp, never forget it, at the bottom of the hill that I grew up on. And it was so peaceful and you couldn't hear anything but the snowflakes. And I remember thinking to myself, this world is so vast. And what's going on in the world right now around me that I don't know about? Like literally that's how I would think at the age of 10. And I would say to myself is to continue to dream that big, beautiful life, because if not you, then who?
Yeah,
exactly.
And why not? Like, why not? And so that's always been that's what I go back to time and time again. So
108-year-old self would say, dream big.
Dream big.
Your 70-year-old self is kind of a youngster compared to that 108-year-old self.
So. I don't know where the 108 just keeps coming in. It's one of those things that that's the number that just keeps coming to me. And then one of my friends said, well, that's because there's 108 beads in the rosary, and there's 108 beads in your mala bracelet, and there's 108 beads. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Well, it's so wonderful having you here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, this is a great conversation. Where can people find out more about what you do and about your book?
First, I'm going to say you two are adorable together, by the way. Such great energy. Okay. So my book, you can find me on my website, sarahschultenkranz.com. It's a lot. You're going to put it in the show notes, right? It's a long name.
Everything.
A long name. In Instagram, I'm on Instagram, Sarah Schulten Kranz, Facebook, Sarah Schulten Kranz.
I enjoy it. Yeah. You're
Thank
fun
you.
To
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I try to be fun. Okay. I'd like to be fun. And then in my website, you will find my TED Talks in there, all the retreats and everything else that I do is in there. My book is in there. You can find the book on Amazon, in Barnes & Noble, literally anywhere that books are sold. And there's some clips to the documentary in my website as well, which are really fun and deep.
They're really powerful.
Very powerful. Yeah.
Yes. Like, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I started searching for as soon as we watched the trailers, I was like, maybe
where is that?
We're ready for the documentary.
Yeah. I know. Everybody keeps asking that. You know, we have so many, unfortunately, the COVID set us back a good year and that just stunk, but it is what it is. I would say it's all in timing.
It's ready.
Right. I mean, it's all in timing. And so we are in post-production right now. And I'm hoping that this will come out in the fall. That's my hope. So,
we'll look forward to watching it.
We will.
And we'll look forward to having another conversation. Hopefully this is our first, not our last.
Well, I would love to go do something with you guys because that would be fun. So let's do it. Let's plan on it.
We'll make it.
We're on the coast, but we can meet somewhere.
We're out there here and there, so we'll make it happen.
I would love that. That sounds great.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right, you guys. Great meeting you.
You too.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.